SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi holding it down for the next couple of hours, but fear not. Carver High will be back on Friday night. We'll get Carver's take about the week in regards to college football, maybe the golf. He'll give us his picks. I believe, again, that we were both 2-2 in week zero for college football. Huge slate of action that starts officially week number one on Thursday night. A bevy of games, including North Carolina and Minnesota. Very tight spread. Tar Heels 1.5-point favorites. You have Colorado and Dion looking to go undefeated. One of the most heavily bet teams in all of college football. Not just to win the Big 12 for that matter, but to knock down that college football playoff door. They kick off their season in Boulder. 9.5-point favorites over North Dakota State. Yes, the North Dakota State. The Trey Lance North Dakota State. The Quincy Patterson North Dakota State. The, Wentz North Dakota State. I lost it there in regard. Carson Wentz, everybody's All-American. Now they have Cam Miller. This is not going to be an easy game for Colorado. The line opened up at 8.5. It now is 9.5 in multiple books. We'll see if it gets up to 10, and we'll get into the Dion situation as well as big picture for Colorado. I get going when I start talking college football, but we have a huge slate as well of Major League Baseball. Carver will be back, as I said, on Friday. If you want to join in on the conversation, we had some callers call in about week one and week zero for college football. Also, big picture, give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. If you were listening to the show last night, it went down to the wire. We were asking for a Music City miracle. And we got it in Minnesota. The Braves jumped out 4-0. They looked that over looked like it was dead and buried. It looked like, Lisi lost again. Ha! 4-0. And I just said, give me a glimmer of hope. As long as you have the ticket, you have hope. And that's all that matters. We chipped away. It was 4-2. And then it was 4-3. And then those Twins, Gutty, crawling on their fingernails, tied it up at 4. And we went into extras. And we blew right through that all 10.5. 8-6 Braves get the win. But we got the over. We then got the over in San Diego and St. Louis, and then we had a crazy, crazy number out there in Colorado. The opening line was 11.5. It was an 8-4 game heading into the ninth. Of course, it was the last leg of the parlay for me. Did I take 12.5? Nah. Did I take 13.5? Nah. I wanted 14.5. Go big or go home. Well, somehow, some way, we loaded the bases up with nobody out. We get the home run, I believe. I don't even know. I was watching on ColecoVision. It was 9-8. I shut it off. We blew right through that. So the Music City miracle comes through in regards to the alt totals in Major League Baseball. Why is that important? Well, we're going to need another one in Cincinnati. I'm on the alt total right now. 3-0. A's have the lead. Top 7, runner on second, nobody out. I altered this bad boy, I believe, to 11.5 or 10.5. I got to look in the break. But we need double digits, okay? So right now, 3-0. The Reds, gutless as they are, have one hit heading into the top of the seventh. So, like I said, Athletics are threatening. Yankees getting beat up by the Nationals again. 5-1 bottom four Nationals with a runner on and two outs. Blue Jays and Red Sox in a tight one, 1-0 in Fenway. Again, one hit for the Blue Jays, one hit for the Reds. I watched the Phillies get absolutely trounced by the Astros today. Why was that important? Well, we were through six innings and they didn't have a hit in Philadelphia. They started out down 6-0, and all of, I think it was Arenado was on the mound. All of a sudden, they were down 10-0, never looked in. They packed it in, getaway day. They wanted to get out of Dodge, I guess. I have no idea, but they had no hits through six. So some teams are showing up on Wednesday. Others aren't. Hopefully we can catch it. Braves up 1-0 right now on the Twins as well. Twins top three, no hit so far. 2-0 Padres and Cardinals. Padres are with a runner on, nobody out. So we'll see if we can get some scoring there. Late action, I did take the total in the Met Arizona game. Total was 8.5, juiced heavily at minus 122. I altered that up to 10.5. I stayed away from the Dodgers and Orioles. They're a hot and cold team, so I don't know what I'm going to get out of Baltimore on the road. But I did jump on Miami and Colorado again. I didn't take 14.5. I took 13.5 tonight. So that those are what we're on. We need the Music City Miracle. 4-0 Athletics. Here we go. 4-0. 11.5. So we need some scoring by Cincinnati. I'm on the 9.5 alt Giants and Milwaukee. And then I said I took the 12.5 in terms of Miami and Colorado. And I also took 13.5 as well. Also took, it looks like the White Sox haven't named the pitcher. They're going to go by committee. I think Texas boat races them tonight. So I took the over 11.5 as well in regards to that total in Chicago. That's plus 230 if you want to alt it. So gamble at your own risk. We had some fun last night. Hopefully we can have some fun tonight and make some money. Huge football show. We're going to have Coach Terry Bowden join us in the second hour. He'll be with us for a couple of segments. We'll continue in regards to some of the bigger matchups, not just on Thursday and Friday, but on Saturday as well. Western Kentucky named T.J. Finley their starting quarterback, taking on Jalen Milroe, and Alabama. Alabama's won 23 straight week one matchups. So that's a crazy number when you think about it. Last loss for Alabama came back in 2001 in Tuscaloosa to UCLA and Skip Hicks, I believe. So that's a crazy, crazy number in regards to the body of work. They've dominated in regards to the number as well, covering a majority of these games. The only two games against the number, I want to say over the past 15 or 16 games, that Alabama hasn't covered. A couple of years ago, when they went on the road as a 28.5 point favorite against Drinkwitz and Missouri, they did not cover that game. Missouri backdoored that matchup. And then I think it was 2016, 2017 when they played Kevin White and Will Greer in regards to West Virginia. I feel like Will Greer has been there for 100 years in West Virginia, but they did not cover that matchup. They were a 26.5 point favorite and won by 10. So that's important when you think about, you know, that body of work and how they've dominated. Now, at home, they are a dominant team. They're 52-2 since 2016 in Bryant-Denny Stadium. 52-2. Only two losses during that span have been to LSU, Joe Burrow, 46-41 in 2019, and last year, Sark and Quinn Ewers. So the dominance continues. Can Kalen DeBoer continue that type of dominance? T.J. Finley, he's a guy, baby. Let's not forget, T.J. Finley engineered the upset win with Texas State as a 27.5 point dog over Dave Aranda and Baylor. Texas State getting it done in Waco. So T.J. Finley is not going to be, let's say, you know, feared of Bryant-Denny. He played at LSU. He played at Auburn. He's battle-tested. High highs and low lows, baby. Can he cover the 30.5 point number? We'll see. Coming right back on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is. We're just getting started.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Poison start on hump day. You gotta love it, baby. We're right in the middle of the week. It's great right here on Carver and Lisi. Talking a little college football, talking MLB. We'll get back into the MLB, but I'll give you a quick update. Right now, Oakland did tack on another one. So they're up 5-0. These gutless Reds have to give us something. Can we get 5-5? Can we get 5-5, Matias? The Music City Miracle in Cincinnati. Yankees had a run, 5-2 now. Top five, runner on first with two outs. Still 1-0 Toronto, 1-0 Atlanta, 2-0 San Diego. San Fran just started with Milwaukee. They have a runner on with runner on first with one out. Earlier, this is a doubleheader, right? So Texas beat Chicago 3-1. I jumped on the second game of the doubleheader. So here we go, I guess. This is it, right? They resumed it from yesterday. So let's hope that second time is a charm. We could blow right through this 11.5 with no pitcher being named for the White Sox. I hope they wrap them around a tree tonight, Matias. All right? Not figuratively, obviously. I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but I want them shellacked. I want them shelled in the first inning. Okay? Before we talk football, I know what? We're in the U.S. Open. Any bets tonight that you want to tell the people in regards to tennis? Because you know I'm not going to back it. I couldn't even watch it for a minute. So who are we backing in the tennis tonight?
It's hard for me to be on the baseball right now when I'm on the tennis because it's just the high-intensity play at the U.S. Open. It's just, you know, I can't stop watching it. Women's side, men's side, it doesn't matter. And yeah, I got some plays. I was patient with it. I'm looking for the comeback right now. I just played Cash at Kina to come back against Peyton Stearns on the women's side, and I got her at plus 350 because she's down one set. She just got whooped on 6-1. I think she comes back and wins the match, plus 350. You can still get that right now at actually plus 250. She just went up 1-0 in the second set, so you know it's going to be tight. And I'm also playing Kecmanovic right now at plus 200 to catch up against Musetti right here live at the U.S. Open. And I'm going to also play Berrettini later tonight prior to the game at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. Berrettini to upset the American Taylor Fritz at plus 140. I'm dancing with the Italian Matteo Berrettini. Let's do it, Joe. That's what I'm doing on the
U.S. Open. You have this cat going over and knocking out Fritzy and what? What round is this? The second, third? What do you got? What is this?
Yeah, we're still in the second round.
Are we? All right.
First? Yeah, it's the second.
So you like the Italian over Fritzy. All right. 5-1. Here come the Reds. Music City Miracle. Will it? As long as the ticket's live, you still have hope. Will this in for me, and I'll root for you in regards to the U.S. Open. I promise you. We got a runner on second.
Always rooting.
Nobody out.
We were rooting it.
Oh, they say it's hot and humid in Cincinnati. Hot and humid. I want to bring this up because I was talking about this to Wetzel earlier when I did Football Full Circle. Okay, and I don't know if you noticed, but FanDuel has out a bunch of odds in regards to the quarterbacks' prop bets, right? They have 4,000-yard passers. They have touchdowns, all listed for each potential starting quarterback. And what I found intriguing was you have a bunch of, like, first-year quarterbacks in Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and last year's first overall pick, Bryce Young. They all have plus money, right? But they're not the dead last starting quarterback in all of the NFL to potentially, you know, throw. And I just want to make sure what it was. I'll give you the 4,000 yards, okay? Now, do you know, I'll give you one guess. Do you know who was dead last out of all the starters on that list at 9-1 to throw for 4,000 yards? I'll give you one guess. Take a shot.
I'm not sure.
Daniel Jones.
No way.
Danny Dimes. And the reason why I say that is I don't know if you saw today the Giants, they resurrected Malik Nabers gets to wear the number one for the New York Giants. Supposedly, it's been like 90 years, supposedly. They can't remember the last time a rookie wore number one for the New York Giants, right? So I looked at the Giants' wide receiver corps, and, you know, people bash them that saying that, you know, Dable and Shine haven't done a pretty good job constructing that roster now that Saquon's there. There's really no excuses, in my opinion, for Daniel Jones. If he doesn't step up this year, you ship him out or you eat the money. I'm sorry. Because Malik Nabers, in my opinion, is a pure number one. Wandale Robinson could be that Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill type of player. He's there. You got Darius Slayton, who's an above-average wide receiver, okay? He's a veteran. And you still have Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee, the burner that was one of the most prolific wide receivers in all of college football, with Hendon Hooker catching 15 touchdown passes. And the reason why I say that, Matias, is look at New Orleans. Chris Olave, Rashid, Saheed, JT Perry, come on. Come on, the Giants have a much better wide receiver core than the New Orleans Saints. And New Orleans has a win total that's much higher than the New York Giants. There is no excuse why Daniel Jones can't perform this year. I don't care if he's 80%. He needs to get well over 3,500 yards passing this season.
Joe, I just don't have the confidence for him to do that. You know, I think he has too many turnovers, too many mistakes. I think the Giants will be off to another bad start this season. And the thing with that, Joe, is his confidence is only going to start getting lower and lower as the season progresses. Right now, when it's, you know, everybody's 0-0, it's a little different. And I think once they get behind the eight ball, we're going to see him make a lot of mistakes like he always does, Joe. Even in the preseason, we already saw it. You know, how many picks have we seen in the preseason so far? He's not going into this season confident. So, no, I don't expect him to perform.
Well, I agree. I think they made a terrible decision in regards to signing him to the extension. They were better off rebuilding. And they were better off actually not making the playoffs in the first year of Brian Daboll. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL. Also sprinkle in some college football to wet the palate. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, baby, this is it. Enter Sandman. Vatek opens as a 13.5-point favorite against Vanderbilt. Very intriguing matchup. We'll talk to maybe Coach Bowden about that. Quick update. Athletics up 5-2. There's a pulse in Cincinnati. One on, two outs. Maybe we can will this into existence. We'll keep you updated in regards to the Major League Baseball. But we're joined right now by Mike from Connecticut. Mike, talk to me.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I need your help. I need the Encyclopedia of College Football and the Paizan Prognosticator. I'm looking at three games this weekend that I don't understand what's going on. A&M and Notre Dame. Notre Dame opened as a one-point favorite, and now the line's like A&M given 2.5 or 3. Mm-hmm. The other game is Penn State at West Virginia. Penn State was opened at 10.5. Now that line's down to 8.5. And the third game is Boise on the road to Georgia Southern. That line opened at 12.5, and that line's now 13. So, you know, and I don't want to steal any thunder because, you know, Friday we're going to all be listening to you and Carver with the picks. And so right. I don't want to, but if you could just break it down for me so I get an understanding of why these, I mean, is everybody coming in on A&M and West Virginia on Saturday? Is it the Sharps?
Well, here's the thing. So I'll break down both the two games, and then I'll get into the Georgia Southern game as well. So just when you look at Notre Dame and you look at Texas A&M, I mean, A&M has an 8.5 win total. Elko did coach Riley Leonard, right? So you have that defensive mindset going up against his former quarterback. And again, 110,000 fans, new optimism. Going to be a very difficult environment for Notre Dame to go on the run. I'm actually shocked, though, Mike, that that line has moved as much as it has as well. But the straight up numbers actually favor Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. He's 10-4 on the road the past couple of seasons, 10-4 straight up on the road or on a neutral field. So it really comes down to, are you buying into Riley Leonard and Marcus Freeman as being the more complete team, or are you buying into Connor Wegman, who's coming off an injury? He didn't play the second half of the season, right? And he was inconsistent, right, in my opinion, especially when he stepped up in competition. You look at that game against Auburn at home last year, he struggled. 2 years ago in Auburn, he struggled when he was a freshman. I do not like Connor Wegman as a quarterback. Big picture, people think he's a first-round selection. I'm not a buyer of that. They do have running back concerns as well. Le'Veon Moss will start for A&M, and it's a new scheme. It's a totally new scheme for Mike Elko. Is that going to translate to a win over a top-ranked opponent in week number one just because it's in your house? I don't necessarily believe that. I actually believe that Marcus Freeman's defense is much better, at least in year number three, than Elko is in year number one. And let's not forget, though, people remember last year when Elko and Duke knocked off Clemson as a 12.5 point dog in their house, right? So I think you're seeing, right, some of that movement as well in that particular game. In the Penn State game, Mike, I can tell you this. The ATS numbers, all the sharps, everybody. I mean, West Virginia, in terms of home openers, has like an amazing, you know, week one matchup. It's almost as dominant. It's like 90% at ATS, I believe, from what I read, and I have to dive into a little bit more, but I think that's why you're seeing it as well. It's a rivalry game. Garrett Green and that offense overperformed last year. They were 9-4, and if you look at that game last year in Happy Valley, they should have covered that 20.5 point number. I was on them, and Franklin stuck it right into them with 12 seconds left against backups. But we'll see. Stay. I'll talk about the other games coming back on the second half of the break. Okay, Mike? We'll come right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Little Rush, Matthias Verbell behind the turnstiles. Carver and Lisa on hump day. We're rocking and rolling. Music City Miracle, two nights in a row, 6-5, the Reds awaken. Six runs in the bottom of the sixth, seventh. They take the 6-5 lead. That total was 10. Oh, we smashed it. Smashed it. I need one more. Can we get one more, Matthias? I need one more. I don't want to go off the beaten path because I know I have ADD. Everybody knows that. But Mike brought up great questions. I broke down Notre Dame and A&M. I want to answer the other two. Great ATS numbers for West Virginia week number one. They should have covered that line last year. Garrett Green and that offense, above average. They can run it. They can throw it. Garrett Green's a mobile quarterback. Tom Allen taking over the defense. But here's the thing. I'm not big on big picture Penn State. I'm not big on Drew Aller. And the reason why is, in big games last year, Drew Aller sucked and he failed to step up. And until I see that change, I can't buy in big picture. I can buy in, though, in regards to him on the road in West Virginia. He had three games last year, Drew Aller, where he completed less than 50% of his passes. Both games against Ohio State and Michigan, it was 43-45 or 43-42. And then the bowl loss to Action Jackson Dart. And that defense of Ole Miss were flying around the football. He completed less than 50% in that game. His best game in 2023 came week one against West Virginia, where he threw 323 and I believe three touchdowns. So he's familiar with the West Virginia scheme. Now, granted, it was week one. It was in his house. I get that. But again, he stepped up in that matchup. I think this game is going to be very tough. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth affair. The fact that the line opened up at 10.5, it's down to 8, 8.5 in multiple shops. I get it. People want the live dog. I can't do it right here, right now. I see this game playing out, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll be the first one to admit it. I see this line, you know, maybe getting just under 8, maybe. You know, maybe more money comes in on West Virginia, but again, I can't buy into it. I see this game 24-20 in the fourth quarter, and somehow, some way, they tack on one more and they win by 11. It'll be where they cover late in regards to Morgantown. I don't think Penn State blows them out in regards to this game, but I do feel they win and cover this matchup. And does that mean I believe that Penn State is a college football playoff contender? I'm not buying in, and it starts with Drew Aller. If all of a sudden he has 300-yard performances with the new offensive scheme, I'm all well and good, then I'll change my assessment. Until I see it, can't believe it. In regards to Madsen getting the starting job over Malachi Nelson and Boise State, this was a hot team, right? You know, Boise State comes on in regards to last year. They were 7-5 in the regular season. they fired Avalos. Spencer Danielson came in, led the resurgence, led them to a bowl matchup. And their quarterback, Taylon Green, is no longer there. The quarterback that actually took him and made that run is now starting for Arkansas and Sam Pittman. So everybody thought it would be Malachi Nelson. Now it's Madsen, the redshirt sophomore. This is a tough game. You know, it's a tough game. I'm inclined to take Georgia Southern with the points. Do I love it? No. But again, you know, it's just tough because Danielson had to see something in regards to Madsen to give him the start, right? He was very clean with the football. He didn't turn the football over. He's familiar with the system. Is he as athletic as Malachi Nelson? No. But in terms of this week one matchup, I would probably take the points with Georgia Southern. Do I love that game? No. It's not going to be a game I'm going to put on the ticket unless I see something from an in-game perspective in regards to that. But Clay Helton as a dog as well has coached his team up. So we'll see how that game plays out. Like, obviously, two dogs and a favorite, like Notre Dame, like Georgia Southern with the points, and Penn State laying the 8 or whatever. As long as it's under 10, I'm willing to lay it with Penn State. That line, as I mentioned, open up at 10.5. We'll dive more into the college football as well a little bit later. Look at these athletics. Look at these athletics. They ain't dead. They ain't dead. Second and third. 6'5". They're looking for more. They're looking for more, Matias. Are you with me? Could we get a total here? You want to jump on something? What total speaks out? How about Colorado? You want to jump in?
Joe, I'm afraid of the baseball, Joe.
Let's go 15.5, and I'll take your tennis pick. Come on.
Well, you should have jumped on the tennis pick before, Joe. The tennis pick is dancing right now, Joe, with Kevin.
Now, you can bet aces, can't you, with the tennis? Like, you know, like, I don't know. This guy has, like, 12 aces. Can I bet that under and over an aces in the match?
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I think you can. For the upcoming match,
they have some crazy bets.
The Fritz Berrettini match, you know, that would be, you can find some crazy things on there. And you know what? That would be a good bet, Joe. The over and the under on aces for Fritz and Berrettini, if you could find that. I'll try to find it for you, too. But that's it's going to be up there. We're talking about ace monsters here with a
what is it? 30 aces in a mat in a set, like a whole game. I mean, if they play, how many sets? I mean, you got to figure the guy's got to, you know. I don't know. You see, you got me looking at this tennis now. I can't believe you. You're like a bad influence. You're worse than Carver. You really are. Did we get a run in here? What happened? Did the athletics get somebody in? I saw second and third, down 6-5, nobody out, looking for more. They want to eat tonight. All right, I need this game to open. White Sox 2-0 over Texas. How about that? All right, good. All right, so let me go through. I'll give you some FanDuel prop bets that I discussed today in regards to 4,000-yard passers, Matias, okay? And 4,500-yard passes, okay? Do you think Tua could throw for 4,500 yards? He's a plus 360, or would you back Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, or your guy Stroud? Forget Mahomes for a second. 8-6. The A's cracked through. We got it again. The Music City Miracle. Two nights in a row. Left for dead and buried Brown. 406-foot blast to left center. Oh.
Did you hit the bet? Did he hit the bet, or is it just part of the, is it a leg?
What don't happened? Worry about it. We hit the bet. We hit the bet, okay? We got it going. All right? We got life tonight. Tonight we got life. All right? So give me your pick right now. Who are you picking for 4,500 yards? I give you three quarterbacks. Burrow, Dak Prescott. I'll give you four. C.J. Stroud or Tua?
I'd go with C.J. Stroud. I'd go with C.J. Stroud. Yeah, and, okay, and you know what? Tua would be up price. There as well. But I think Stroud is going to throw the ball a lot this season. They're going to run it as well, obviously, with Mixon. But, man, if they stay healthy, you know, Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and even him throwing out the backfield to his running backs, he's going to have a monster year, Joe. And we don't see C.J. Stroud taking off with his legs a lot unless it's wide open. You know, he loves to throw the ball down the field. You know, he's not like those running quarterbacks where it's just like they look to run first. This guy's looking to throw first. And their coaches over there in Houston, they understand that. And they want to get the ball downfield. That's what made them so great last year. You know, think about a healthy Nico Collins and a healthy Tank Dell. Man, that ball is flying around the lot. So that's why I say if they stay healthy. And with the addition of Stephon Diggs, that team could be flying high all season, Joe, throwing the football.
Well, it's all off if these guys stay healthy, right? I mean, that is basically the bet. If they're not healthy, there's no way they're even coming close, right? That's what it is. So we'll come back. I'll give you my assessments. We'll talk more prop bets, NFL, coming right back on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, baby, things are starting to open up now. I tell you, if you took the over 16.5 in the A's-Reds game, you got a shot. I mean, runners on first and third again. One out. They're looking for more. Bullpen absolutely atrocious right now for the Reds. This game had, 5-0? They scored 9 runs from the 7th inning on. Unbelievable. Looking for more. I need the game in Milwaukee with Peralta on the mound to open up. You got top 3 Giants with a runner on. Could we open this game up? 9-6 Oakland. Unbelievable. 15 in the till. The game just started. They're going to the bottom of the first. Colorado, no score. Texas down 2-0. And that's where we stand. So we'll see. So now Matias likes Stroud. And I understand. I'm a big Stroud backer as well. But I still think that division is a black and blue division. If I had to make this bet for 4,500 yards, I probably would either go Tua or Joe Burrow. Now, Tua, you got to always be concerned in regards to the health staying up for 17 potential games, but that's their bread and butter. Same thing with Cincinnati. As the passing attack for Joe Burrow goes, so do the wins and losses. Same thing with Tua. Again, we know that they can run the football at times with Achan and Mostert as well, and now they got Wright from Tennessee that could be added into the mix, but they live and die with the passing attack. When Tua is off or when they're throwing for 130 yards, you know, a couple of years ago against the Chargers or in that game at the end of the regular season with the AFC East on the line, Tua struggled with interceptions, struggled throwing the football vertically, and they lose games. So I like both of those, plus 480 for Burrow and plus 360 for Tua. Dak is interesting because I talked about this today. Yes, he's done this and could challenge this number. C.D. Lamb got his money. They just signed Dalvin Cook. The problem I have with potentially Dak Prescott going for 4,500 yards is the schedule. From a defensive perspective, Dallas opens in the dog pound. With Cleveland, we know that the bread and butter with Myles Garrett still. is the defense. Hopefully, Deshaun Watson has an aching shoulder. You don't know what you get. Nick Chubb on the sidelines on the PUP list. So that's week one. Then Dennis Allen and the Saints come to town. Why win games 40-20 when you can lose them 17-13? Ravens, another defensive-minded team. Giants divisional game. Steelers playoff team. Lions playoff team. And that Lion game was a dead under last year as well when they played in Big D, 21-20. So that's the first six games of the regular season. Do you really believe that Dak Prescott and Dallas are going to score 40 points per game, or Dak's going to throw for 300-plus in each one of those matchups? I have my concerns. So if he doesn't, getting over 4,500 yards, in my opinion, going to be difficult. You want to take a shot on some of the rookies? I'm not a buyer of Caleb Williams. You want to take a shot on... I don't think Jordan Love could get there because of how LaFleur wants to run the football as well. And now with the addition of Josh Jacobs, he wants to have some offensive balance, especially when they made that playoff run. As good as Jordan Love was, Aaron Jones over the last five games of the regular season was averaging around 114.5 rushing yards per game. That carried through to the playoff win against Dallas as well. Aaron Rodgers at 10-1, can't take that. Caleb is 11-1. Hurts is 12-1. Interesting in regards to Jalen Hurts because we know about the rushing attack with Saquon Barkley. We also know about his versatility in the RPO game. Sam Darnold has got a 12-1 number. Interesting. 12-1. Everybody bashing Sam Darnold.
And what about Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins for 45. Lucky, he's got to throw his guy out there.
Where no, you, I, look, it's not a bad bet considering
he's
who his offensive coordinator is.
Plus 750.
Look,
he's right under Jordan Love.
If they're going to do what the Rams did last season, Joe, that's a good bet to make.
Well, I tell you
they're
what,
throw the ball around the lot.
Okay, so you like Cousins? I would take a shot right here. I told you who I like from the front runners. If I'm taking a deep shot, I also like Stafford because of the receiver core. But deep shots, how about? How about Baker Mayfield at 12-1? Or, I know you're going to think I'm nuts. I would take a shot on Gardner Minshew at 20-1. Big game Gardner Minshew.
You like Minshew, Joe.
I do like Minshew. He's a covering machine sometimes, and people are going to throw his age 13-27 against the number or whatever, you know. Yeah, but in those 13 games, I had him about five. He put money in my pocket, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters, Matias. I think Gardner Minshew's a gamer. He brings it every single week. Is he the most talented? No. But he's an emotional guy. And you have Brock Bowers in that offense. You have Brock Bowers.
Yeah, Brock Bowers
I think Brock Bowers is Rookie of the Year candidate. How about you? You want to take a shot on Jaden Daniels? What?
If he stays healthy, I don't think Brock Bowers is going to make it through the season.
I'll take that bet right now. You want to take that bet?
But, sure, we can make a little side hustle right
we'll
there.
We'll make a side wager on that. We'll do that. How about Jaden Daniels, 22-1? Tickle your fancy?
I think he runs too much. I think he'll be more of a running quarterback, obviously. A smart running quarterback. They don't want to get him killed. I just don't see him having that many attempts and yardage, you know, to get there.
Dead last on the list, 30-1, Danny Dimes. He's worth $40 million, man? Are you kidding me? Coming right back. Hour one in the books.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Texas threatening, but actually White Sox threatening. Second and third, up 2-0. One out. I need both of these runs to come in as I'm on the over 11.5. And then runner on second for the Marlins. They're up 1-0 on Colorado. So we'll see how that. I took that total up to 13.5. Dead and buried right now in regards to the over in Milwaukee with this Peralta He's throwing, I don't know, he's throwing dimes because right now top four, no score. I thought for sure San Francisco would be able to wrap him around. They haven't done that, but we'll keep you updated. I brought up Danny Dimes having the worst total to potentially get to 4,500 passing yards, also to 4,000 passing yards. He's dead last on both. Now, I think he had 3,200 his best year, and I get that, but you paid this guy $40 million to do what? To do what? He's injury prone now. You have young playmakers there. They were better off just, and I said this about the New York Giants, and I'm going to continue to beat this. In year one, what a terrible, you know, Brian Daboll and that offense and that team went for it. They had a 7-win total. He was better off stripping it down and starting from scratch, getting the talent, the quarterback that he wanted, and then starting over in year two. The worst thing that could have happened was that the Giants made the playoffs. They beat Kirk Cousins. You hear me, Matthias? They beat Kirk Cousins when Minnesota was 13-3 in regards to the regular season, 13-3 in the regular season. And then all of the Giant fans were drinking the Kool-Aid. They were sitting in the corner with the velour sweatsuits on and the headband and praying to the church of Brian Daboll. They were praying to the coach of the year, Brian Daboll. And by the way, and I'll stir the pot, Brian Daboll did not deserve to win coach of the year, okay, that year. He had a 7-win total, and they overachieved that. Pete Carroll had a 5.5 win total, took his team to 9-8 and challenged in the first round of the playoffs as well. Did he win a playoff game? No, but it doesn't matter. Everybody thought Pete Carroll in Seattle would be dead and buried without Russell Wilson. What a genius he was. And now in New York, everybody's praying for answers. Where's Sean Stellato when you need him? Right? Where's Tommy DeVito? You'd have a better shot. You'd have a better shot of starting the year with Tommy DeVito at quarterback than you would Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. It's just the way I feel. You know what, right?
I agree with you, Joe. I think they want those chicken cutlets. I think they want the whole family getting up a big Italian feast out there in the stadium. I don't think they want anything to do with Danny Dimes, Joe. Think about it. Week one, preseason, they go DeVito. Week two, let's throw Danny Dimes out there, see how he's doing. Throws a quick 2 interceptions, a pick 6 to add it. What happens? He gets benched again just because they can't kill his confidence. Whatever he's done good at preseason, you know, in camp, that's just out the window after his only preseason performance this year. You know what I mean? He's not in a good place right now, Joe. The beard didn't help him out anything. You know what I mean? He's going to go in there. He's going to throw picks, and he's going to get benched again, Joe. That's what's going to happen. It's a bad football team.
Well, we'll see. Let me ask you this, because I think there's rumors that Bill Belichick wants to coach again, and I've heard that, and you know how close he is to the Maras and that organization. If the Giants limp to a 6-11 season, miss the playoffs, if you're Mara and you're the crew, are you getting rid of Brian Daboll and luring in the old man into the MetLife and Meadowlands? Are you doing
absolutely
that for a 1-year turnaround?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You would?
100%. They clean house. They get a quarterback. They start fresh. They bring in a new energized Bill Belichick, the guy that we've seen behind the camera lately. I don't know what's been going on, but he's not the same guy that we've seen usually, you know, coaching on the sidelines with his demeanor and everything. So yeah, he's re-energized, Joe. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need to take a step back and see what happens. We're talking about one of the greatest coaches to ever live here. Yeah, you give him another shot, and you start over with a great franchise like the New York Giants.
Think he's got a little bounce in his step. He's got 27 bounces in his step lately, huh? We'll see. We'll see how that plays out there in the Meadowlands. We'll come back. Hour one in the books. Hour two up next. College football on the horizon.